So, hello, folks.
We have 10 minutes.
I think we're on. We should be starting now, right? We should be.
4:45.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Yes.
So, hello, folks. We're here to talk to you about using Kiwi to sweeten heterogeneous Linux deployments in the cloud, or something like that. So, to kind of start, there's a lot of bullet points online for mine. I will summarize in, I do lots of things in Linux distributions, Fedora, Alma, CentOS, OpenSUSE, and I do stuff in upstream with KDE, Xorg, and stuff like that. My day job, as it were, is I am a consultant with my own company, Velocity Limitless. I do things. Check out my site. We could probably, if you're interested, we can have a chat later.
Yeah, if you have not listened to the Sudo show, I highly recommend that you pay attention. Neil does a lot of great commentary about the Linux ecosystem, along with others, many others.
Yeah, two other co-hosts. Now introduce yourself.
Yeah, I'm David Duncan. I work at Amazon, and I spend my time trying to make Linux a better experience on AWS, and by Linux I mean all of it. But I spend my time mostly with the upstream distributions and ensuring that we get things done in a way that is consistent across the platform.
Right. So, talking about consistency, we would want to start with talking about Kiwi, the appliance image build tool that's made by awesome people here in the OpenSUSE project, myself, Marcus Schaffer, who's also here. And I don't think David Cassani's here, but he is also part of the project, as well as Don Charmack. The thing that's really nice about it is it's straightforward, idiomatic, XML, YAML, JSON, whatever. It's flexible. It can build whatever type of things you want. As far as I can tell, it's the only image build tool that can build as many types of things as it wants. Like, you can have one description that builds ISOs, disks, and containers, and all kinds of weird stuff in the middle. Produces artifact logs, free and open source, and we're nice people. You can't discount having nice people running a project. That's always a great plus.
Yeah. So one of the other things so my interests come with being able to create documented and citable images. And so some of the things that are sitting here on the slide that Neil has just said in an excited way, are things like the ability to have an XML description, which I find to be very helpful in terms of reproducible builds. The other thing is that you're provided with an artifact log, and that artifact log has been a huge part of us turning around the ability to identify and discover what has been, in fact, done in other distributions.
Yeah. So, David's starting to hint at this, so here's why Kiwi in the first place. A big part of this comes to the fact that if you construct the descriptions relatively in line with what others have done, in particular the distribution level, you can find that you will have descriptions that are easy to understand and easy to reproduce their artifacts, and you're able to easily extend them for your own custom use cases without having to rewrite everything from scratch, which is always useful for being able to leverage what communities have built to be able to extend and derive, as well as to contribute back.
Yeah, we put a lot of focus on the contribute back. So if you look there, in this diagram, I wanted you to really focus in on the composite build process. We find this composite build process to be absolutely essential, and Neil put a lot of time and effort into making that work as a part of Kiwi.
Right. And, you know, to kind of reiterate, like, the components of this from a feature perspective, you know, there's support for WSL and OCI things, repeatable builds, and all these other types of stuff. Within the OpenSUSE project, of course, it's used for pretty much every image artifact. And within Fedora, it's become recently an adopted tool for building cloud images and Vagrant images and extending further into more artifacts. However, the downside is that a lot of other tools... Well, hold on. Oh, I'm mixing up this stuff. So the good stuff is on the left. And why did we put the right stuff?
The right stuff down there was something that we saw in a lot of the other... So in the community, we've encountered a lot of people who were excited about us incorporating their build tools.
And oh, so yes,
we've
right.
We've spent a lot of time having to make the conversation a very open one and determine and start by saying, okay, let's take a look at Kiwi and let's take a look at whatever other build, let's take a look at the next build tool that you think is going to be the better one for the work that you're doing. And in most of those cases, we found that we found these kinds of issues that we came across. It was complicated to reproduce their builds. I gather we didn't have a way to identify what had in fact been built after the artifact was completed, or we didn't have a way to build a live image or an ISO for the configurations. And then in one case, we even had a tool where we could not guarantee that the API was going to be compatible at every turn, and that ended up causing a release fail for another distribution. So
yeah, that did kind of suck.
It did.
So again, this kind of comes back to the reason why we use Kiwi here, and there's the important bit of supporting both the builders and the distributors, as well as the users that consume them. We want to have things, like if we're looking at it from an OpenSUSE context, you can build stuff in OBS. Like, you can build anything you want in OBS, provided that OBS provides you all the inputs you need. And a Kiwi description is fully supported by OBS to be able to build any artifact that it supports. But we also wanted to make it so that when you're making these descriptions and you're making these workflows, you can do it on your computer. And it's very important that you're able to do it on your computer, because that is a much faster build, test, iterate cycle than if you were to upload it to OBS, wait for OBS to go fetch all the things, go download it, go build, and wait and wait and wait. Like, you want to be able to move fast on these things. Like, if you do a local build, it should take only no longer than 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Then you should be able to iterate and get to a point where you're like, okay, I'm ready to check this into the formal build system.
Well, let's don't spoil the next slide.
Oh, okay, fine. Here, you talk about this.
Well, so we were looking at what we needed to do to build in every case for a distribution. And when you look at that, you see effectively the DevOps plan, right? So creating a backlog, identifying that you want to add something to your image is a really important part of the work. And then creating that as a Kiwi description, and we'll show you that's a little bit of a spoiler there too. But you want to set up a project that helps you to develop whatever the style of image is that you want to create. I added instance in there, but that is a personal bias. You could just be looking for a container.
Or on your computer like I do.
Yeah, but we started to look at how we could align our Kiwi configurations with each distribution, right? So a lot of what Neil did was to find exactly the kinds of package configurations that each one of, say, the groups that were building out support for new window managers or old or ancient window managers.
Sometimes and, ancient,
yeah,
yes.
And then figure out a way to do that. And then lint the code. That was a super exciting part for me. Being able to, because Marcus originally set this up to have XML as a structure, he also set up a schema. And building against that schema means that we have a really easy time of linting and establishing what we need for our validations and testing. Neil wrote some really fantastic testing in just a very short amount of time. When we first got this integrated into the Koji build service for
Fedora.
Fedora, yeah.
Right.
And you can see that in the Fedora Kiwi descriptions, and there's a link down here at the bottom of the slide if you're interested in reviewing those.
Yeah.
Oop. Oh, did I go?
Whoa.
I did it.
That is too many buttons.
Now you can do it.
There we go. Right. So the important thing about Kiwi is that it's distribution agnostic at the core. All it really cares about is you telling it what repos there are, what package manager you're using, and what stuff you want to install. That means you can do anything. You can do Fedora, CentOS Stream, Tumbleweed, whatever. Just pick your poison and go. And you can see here that it's, you know, you can, and the other thing is that you could run this from an OpenSUSE box. You can, like, this laptop here with the OpenSUSE environment on it, I could run Kiwi and build an image for CentOS Stream, Fedora, and Tumbleweed right from here. Or I can do it from a Fedora box to build for any of these other targets, because yeah, as long as you have all the stuff you need to run it, it'll just do it.
We can flip that. And this is purposefully ambiguous. So you may notice that it says OpenSUSE server. I wanted I'm sure that you were thinking to yourself, hey, Dave, you put OpenSUSE server, there's two of those. Mm-hmm. Well,
Leap, do what you want.
Yeah, Leap or Tumbleweed, it doesn't matter.
Either or Micro OS.
Yeah. Yeah, or Alma Linux or anything.
Yeah, so when you look at how essentially the process works, you see that the Kiwi configuration then gets processed by the build system, which then evaluates the actions between both Kiwi and the build system, runs package management actions, creates the target structure, whether it's a file system or it's a tarball space or whatever, sets up the bootloader, signs it, and produces the output at the very end. Seems like a logical process, but you'd be surprised how many image build tools don't actually do all these things. A lot of them will either A, cut out the build system part, or B, cut out the signing part, or C, cut out the image output part. Yes, there are image build tools that don't produce you an image file at the end. Why? I don't know. You talk to them. They're like, okay, you get an FS root, now you make your image, you do you. It's like, okay, I guess, but then what was the point?
Yeah, But some of the things that we do here is we tie in to the package management systems that are available to us from other distributions, and there's been a lot of work in Kiwi. And if you haven't paid attention to this, I hope you will. Where we're literally leveraging the package systems that are available to us in the repository management that is available through each one of the distributions.
Right, and so this is an example structure of definitions for producing a cloud image using the official Fedora Kiwi descriptions.
Yeah, so when we define the image, whether that's a container, a Vagrant image, an ISO, we're starting with a boot core. With a cloud system, we also have a cloud core. The cloud core typically is what we want to include in every one of the every cloud provider, right? Public or private.
Like, so for example, Cloudinit is required by almost all of them.
So it's
in the cloud core.
Right, but then we'd have a cloud provider component that is very specific, and so for Google.
Right. For Google, we then turn around and uninstall it. But the cloud provider generally is like we define the disk type, we just define the layout, we define the image format output, any special kernel arguments, things that are unique to the cloud provider. This factorization makes it super easy for us to go and say, okay, we started with, let's say, AWS and Azure, and then we added Google afterwards, and then we could add, I don't know, Oracle Cloud after that, or Alibaba, or something else, right? Like, it's very easy to just put more with minimal effort.
Yeah, just think of this as a 100% interchangeable component, right? So, sneak peek. We'll talk about profiles in a little bit. But one of the things that we wanted to do, and this is like the big key structure that we were excited to focus on, is that we provide a way for you to do personal modifications. So all you have to do is hit one of these repos, and there'll be a README where there are instructions for building exactly what it is that you can build in this out of these repos, and then some hints on how you can actually build your own personal modifications into that structure.
Right. And as such, here's one example of this. This is from a repo on GitHub that submodules the official Fedora descriptions. And you can see here, right here up at the top, these include lines. So Kiwi has a feature that it's fairly new. I think it was introduced in the last year or so, where you can have horizontal composition by breaking out the aspects of the Kiwi XML or YAML or JSON and into separate files, and then have the parent XML, YAML, JSON, include them so that you are able to essentially construct the full description without actually having to have a monster description file. This has two big advantages. One, it's much easier for a person to understand what each thing does. Two, it makes it easier for you to interchange or extend them. And this is demonstrating us extending this. This sources the Fedora Kiwi descriptions, but adds its own variants. And we add a container variant on top of having a base bootable image for the clouds and a workstation image. Yeah.
So you can see up at the top there, we've got all those profiles. So you saw the cloud provider component in that stack. That is exactly what, those are the specific cloud providers that we have pushed today, and we're looking for more.
Right. And then again, this is just further describing, like, this is what the XML snippet looks like. You see? It's fairly straightforward. If you've ever seen it inside of a singular config, like a lot of the OpenSUSE configs are just giant single file ones, you can recognize this as portions from something that you would get from there. In Fedora and in this example, we have them all broken out because it makes it easy to replace and do whatever.
Well, can you go just explain a little bit more about what we're looking at here?
Sure. So you see here up the top, we have this, the image section, which is the universal merging way. So Kiwi knows that everything belongs inside of an image document. But the profile section shows us that we have a container core profile. And then we have a container-based generic, which requires the container core. This allows the second level of factorization. Inside this XML, though we won't see it because I don't actually have it snipped in here, we have the container-based generic, which defines like the metadata properties for this container image. But then there's stuff that's common to any type of container image you would create, like, you know, make sure you have the Fedora release container package so that you have the correct OS release files and you have, you know, the skeleton of the file hierarchy and bash installed and stuff like that. Those are in container core. And then everything else goes into container-based generic. And if you wanted to extend on top of that for saying, oh, I don't know, maybe you want to make your own toolbox or distro box container, then you just pull that in on top, add the other bits that you need, and that way you can very easily have this hierarchy of maintained bits that you're able to work from, and you can understand what your inheritance model is, and you can understand where your stuff is coming from.
Yeah, in your own configuration.
Right.
You could do package removes. You can do package adds. You can, in fact, use overlays to add files that you wouldn't necessarily be able to install by...
in normal means.
Yeah, by package manager. So a lot of these... a lot of the configuration that you can do for yourself is going to be something that is your design, and it doesn't necessarily have to fall into the requirements of the distribution.
Right. So all this kind of come back to, well, this is about having multiple, doing this with multiple distributions, doing this heterogeneous. Well, we talked about all this componentization and factorization, and we talked about it in the context of Fedora. Well, what does that mean from the context of in OpenSUSE? Or maybe you have a heterogeneous environment with, say, Fedora, CentOS, and OpenSUSE. Well, this is what it looks like. So this description, which you can get on code.opensuse.org, it's a sample that, last I checked, worked because I made it last week, has multiple distributions in here, and it has common pieces in it. So the way that this kind of looks, here is the common piece here, which is this config XML for OpenSUSE Tumbleweed, and this produces a Tumbleweed cloud image. And again, you remember I said earlier about these includes and horizontal composition. There you go. You can see that there's platforms cloud generic SUSE, Vagrant generic SUSE. Those snippets allow you to have splits based on the stuff that makes sense as the same and the stuff that is unique for the distributions. And then let's look at the generic one here. It's, well, I mean, it just defines what it looks like. I don't have a screenshot of the SUSE and Red Hat ones, but they're kind of boring because they all they list as packages because the package names are different between the distributions.
Well, but this
shocker.
But this relates to both of those.
Right, exactly. Because again, these are horizontally composed. When Kiwi runs through this, it merges all the files together back into the super description form and then evaluates it. So you don't really have to worry about having to figure out whether you've sequenced it correctly or they're included in the right order or whatever, as long as you've got your profile dependencies and the names are all matching, they'll get all pulled in correctly. So you see here we have this Azure profile and AWS EC2 profile. Those two profiles are also referenced in the the SUSE.xml or the Red Hat.xml that exists in this thing, and they add the other pieces to this that say, oh yes, we need cloud init. And then on SUSE ones, we need cloud init config SUSE or whatever.
Or,
right?
Or in this case, this very special case, we need this kernel command line extension in order to ensure that the console functions.
That too. Yeah. So that's kind of the pitch of this. And if you want to see this for yourself and try it out, you can download those descriptions and play with it. I guess that R means responses?
That's right. No SLA on
answers. Okay.
I didn't realize we were providing SLAs for answers now.
We aren't.
Yeah. Anyone got any questions? Also, how much time do we have?
A lot.
Oh, okay. So we went too fast.
Yes. You should have put some space between your words.
I don't know if I can do that.
Any questions?
Okay. Oh, look, there's a hand going
up. Oh, yeah.
There we go. And apparently you're getting a Geeko for it.
Pardon?
You can get a Geeko for it.
Oh, cool. that'll be my sixth or something. Okay. Just one quick question. Can Kiwi build images for the image-based deployments as systemd likes to do them using systemd repart and all that stuff that belongs to it?
So we can produce systemd-style boot images, including discoverable partitions and all that stuff. That's all supported. And it will actually automatically, if you're creating a GPT-based disk, will automatically set those labels for you for the matched volumes. Now, that said, we do not use systemd repart yet. It is something that we are exploring. Systemd repart comes with a ton of limitations across the whole gamut of things that we can do, but it is still something we're exploring for the subset of cases where it makes sense, because one of the nice advantages of systemd repart is that now you can make images completely unprivileged, which is super awesome and means you can run it inside of, like, say, GitHub Actions.
I've also a question. The images, are they bit for bit reproducible? ISOs or the Dockers or the...
Bitwise reproducibility is very hard to do with images because...
I know.
because of everything, right? Like, but the biggest reason why bitwise reproducibility is so hard is that no package system can let you do it. You have scriptlets that run, and they can do things basically randomly. And so between A and B builds of the same thing, bitwise reproducibility is really difficult because, well, the scripts can run rando. And so that keeps bitwise reproducibility out. But there's other aspects of reproducibility that you can impose in your image builds if you want.
But you do get the SBOM, right? So without being able to guarantee that in the tool, we are giving you everything you need to build that reproducibility. So you could go back to your vault or whatever and just ensure that you have exactly those same packages in a build.
Okay, let's talk offline later. I'm the maintainer of Live Build, which uses for Debian, and that makes bit-for-bit reproducible ISOs.
Live. Oh, with FAI?
No.
FAI, well, Live Build.
Live Build is separate. FAI is a different system.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Let's talk later.
Okay, understood.
So you can produce a whole bunch of images. Kiwi has a TAR-GZ format as an output.
Yes.
How does that handle, like, when there's two partitions? Do you get two TAR-GZs with the two?
I think right now it just ignores it.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone has ever asked us to turn partitions into tarballs.
No, but so with the systemd repart question, right? Systemd repart can use a block device as a source. So in fact, your current images can, because you can point to different partitions in a block device, systemd repart.
Yeah.
Or you can do it as file trees. So if you could produce a file tree per partition,
yep,
then you can map that to systemd repart.
Yep.
Because I think the guy's question was talking about repart as a deployment tool, not as an image building bit.
Okay.
Because it can do that too.
Right, sure.
Any comment? Anyone else? Well, thanks for spending some time with us talking about Kiwi. We are certainly excited about talking to you more.